Grace and peace be unto you from God, who is our Father and Mother, and from Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I was going to start the sermon with a little friendly competition between the adults and the children. I was going to call it something like the sin marathon. Not sinning, but naming sins. I was going to invite the children to name how many sins that they could think of, they could come up with. Because I want to focus this sermon on the idea of sin. You see, I think that the concept of sin is one of the most important concepts in the Christian faith. But it is also one of the most misunderstood concepts in the Christian faith. Not only in the Christian faith, I think that the idea of sin is at the heart of all of the world religions. I believe that religions, in a sense, emerge as an answer to the problem of sin. If religions are a way to deal with what is wrong with the world. But I think that we do not understand always the profundity or the depths of sin. I think that we often think about sin as moral failings. We think about sins as those things that we did that we were not supposed to do. In preparation for today, I went to the Merriam-Webster's dictionary to see what definition it gives of sin. And it says something like transgressions of divine laws, or disobedience to God, or breaking some moral rules that are established by the community. And I think that all those are important, but all those are actually symptoms of sin. I think that there's something more profound, and for that I want to direct your attention to the text that we just read. You know, the way the Bible is written, it's to force us to stop, to slow down, and to pay attention to the details. And there's a very important detail here that often escapes our attention. In the verse, in verse 29, the expression that I just read, again, it says, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now, do you see anything that catches your attention in that sentence, in the way that that is worded? I don't know if you noticed that John uses the singular and not the plural. So he talks about Jesus being the one that takes away the sin of the world. He does not say that he's the one that takes away the sins, plural, of the world. So both John and Paul in his letters, they do the same thing. They prefer to speak of sin in the singular rather than sins in the plural. You see, sins in the plural are symptoms of sin in the singular. And sin, according to John and according to Paul in the scriptures, it is a dislocation of the soul. It is a dislocation of our relationship with God. The problem with sin is that we have broken away from God. And because we have broken away from God, nothing else works properly. Or not only have we displaced God from the place that only belongs to God in our soul, but we have replaced God with other things that are not God. And yet we expect them to give us what only God can give us. Now, as I was preparing for the sermon, I was thinking of an illustration that helped me understand this concept. And for some reason, this month has been the science month. I keep thinking about science, keep going back to my science classes. And I remember when I was in high school, and I took biology class, and I learned about genetics, and I learned about something called sickle cell anemia. Sickle cell anemia is a very interesting disease of the blood. What happens is that there is a unit in the chain of DNA that is replaced, and instead of having the unit that is supposed to be there, it has a wrong one. It has a different one. And that changes the structure. That changes the shape of hemoglobin. And that itself, the hemoglobin, having a different shape, that changes the shape of red blood cells. And that affects then the ability of red blood cells to carry oxygen throughout the body. And it brings about a lot of problems, a lot of health problems. But what is fascinating is that it is just this tiny little molecule, this amino acid, that instead of the right one, there's a different one there. And so it makes the molecule crumble in upon itself. And of course, I should have known back then that I was being called to the ministry when I saw that, and I immediately thought, that's like our relationship to God. That's like sin. That is exactly what happens to us. So that the problem is that we have been created to be in relationship with God. As a matter of fact, it's more profound than that, because the scriptures tell us that we were created in the image of God. And so in a really strange sense, to be related to God is to be related to ourselves in a true way. So when we lose our relationship to God, we lose our image, our true image. We become distorted. We become corrupted. The image of God in us, our image, becomes distorted, becomes corrupted. And in the same way that when hemoglobin becomes distorted, then the whole cell becomes distorted, in the same way when we become distorted because of our relationship with God being replaced by another relationship, then our whole society, our family, our world also becomes deformed, also becomes distorted, also becomes corrupt. And then we have things like war. Then we have things like sexism. We have things like racism. We have things like classism, ageism, all the isms that you can think of. We have homophobia. We have xenophobia. Then all of a sudden, we become distorted. We become unrecognizable from the perspective of who we were supposed to be. Now, if we continue reading the text, we see that it says, or if we read the text again, John says, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It gives us a clue about how God deals with that problem, of the problem of sin. He calls Jesus the Lamb of God. And now, that's a little bit disappointing, because usually when we think about somebody that will come to solve the problems of the world, we maybe like to think about somebody with some power, with some might. I mean, they used to think about David as the quintessential savior, or Joshua, the one that helped them conquer the Canaan. But if you know a little bit about Jewish history, you also know about the Maccabees, which is what Hanukkah commemorates. And the Maccabees, they helped the Jewish people to fight the Romans and kick them out of their holy land. And Maccabee was symbolized as a ram. So at least John could have said the ram, you know, that Jesus was like this ram, you know, this sheep that has like the horns, and the ram is also used to tear down doors. So that's a power, a symbol of strength. We like to think about God's dealing with sin as God taking care of the sinners, God taking care of punishing those that are the problem. See, the problem is always the others, not us. But that's not what John says. John says that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So the way in which God chooses to deal with the problem of sin is by incarnating himself in Jesus and taking upon himself the consequences of our sin. Rather than punishing it, he takes upon himself the consequences of our being distorted, of our being corrupted. He takes it upon himself and displays it back to us on the cross, so that we all of a sudden see ourselves in that mirror and we realize how distorted our image has become, how corrupted our soul has become, and how in desperate need of God we are. Now, tomorrow, we are celebrating Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And Martin Luther King Jr. Was a faithful follower of Christ. And he learned from this that I had just described a whole method of addressing the very concrete problems of racism in our society and classism in our society. See, what he did was, rather than engage in a very militant and violent crusade in the way that somebody like Malcolm X did, he followed the example of the Lamb. And he invited the other people in a very daring and dangerous way to accept to take upon their own bodies, to take upon themselves the weight of the sin of racism in this country. You see, they were already suffering it, of course, but they decided to do this in a very public way. If you haven't had the chance to see the movie Selma, it reminds us one of those occasions when this happened, when in a very public way they would be receiving beatings. Martin Luther, John Lewis, and many others of the civil rights leaders, and also men and women, common normal men and women. And the power of those images lied in the fact that they mirror back to our society what we had become. You see, in our society, we had become convinced that there was one race superior to another, that there was one group better than the other. And by lifting up that mirror of what our image actually looked like, of the distortion, the corruption of our image as a society, it really called people back to repentance. But you see, if that was it, then there is no hope, because all that does, it just points out the sin, it points out the corruption, it points out the distortion of the image of God in our individual selves and in our society. But it gives us also a way out. In Christ, as the Lamb of God, he takes upon himself the sin of the world and creates the conditions of possibility so that we can once again be connected to God in the right way, so that we, just like that DNA molecule that I was talking about, in our lives, we can then bring God again to the place where God belongs. So we are in the constant process of being reminded of the ugliness, of the sinfulness of our being. But then we are also called back to repentance. We are called back to God. And in Christ, we have the conditions of possibility so that we can once again be in a profound relationship with God. And when our relationship with God is fixed, when our relationship with God is right, then our relationship with others is also right. I want to finish by reading a beautiful quote from Martin Luther King Jr. that reminds us of how not only are we related to God, but also to each other. I think he said this in a speech that he gave in Oberlin College. It's a very famous quote. "We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. I cannot become what I ought until you become what you ought to become. And you cannot become what you ought to become until I become what I ought to become." So thank God for the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world and helps us to be able to relate with each other properly again. Amen.